Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, it's safe to say that we probably spend more time on this podcast talking about the chairman of the Democratic Party rather than the Republican Party. And that's largely because Debbie Wasserman Schultz says something pretty much ridiculous every 30 seconds that she's actually speaking. So that's probably a conservative estimate. But Reince Priebus, who's been on the job for a little less than a year now, worked a lot of miracles politically in Wisconsin last year, which helped him get the job. And he doesn't do a lot publicly. He's not the most dynamic speaker. But what he can do is pretty much sum up why President Obama needs to be fired next November. Here's Reince Priebus speaking with David Gregory on NBC's Meet the Press.
Everything that this president has touched, everything he's touched, has not turned out to go very well. Everything he touched has gotten worse. Now, the debt commission, he didn't follow it. Super committee, he's out campaigning. He was nowhere to be found. Healthcare costs, he said that Obamacare would make everything better in regard to healthcare. It would lower the cost of healthcare. Guess what? Costs are higher.
Jim, I think all those points have probably been made in Republican debates, but I don't know if they've ever been made so succinctly, one on top of the other. It really paints a very damaging picture, and it's also very disciplined of the Republican chairman to really focus on the economy, despite what is trying to be painted as a rosy jobs report last week. We explained why it wasn't as great as a lot of people think, but keeping the focus on the economy, that's where this election is going to be won or lost. Good for Reince Priebus.
You know, Reince Priebus seems like a really nice guy, but as he was going through that litany, I just kind of was reminded of a line from The Sopranos that I will edit heavily because this is a family podcast. But basically, at one point where Tony Soprano's life was not going well, he said, I'm King Midas in reverse. Everything I touch turns to, and you can fill in the blank there, an unpleasant substance you don't want to touch. But, you know, so if we come up with a cleaner version of that, that doesn't seem like a bad argument to or a bad way of characterizing the Obama record in this area. It's not like the housing market has rebounded. I still paid something like $3.40 or something like that for a gallon of gas the other day, and that was the regular, not even the premium. The unemployment, as we said, is not as good as it used to be, and the improvements are really more smoke and mirrors because of the workforce is declining. People are leaving the workforce like never before. We've tried reaching out to Iran, and now they're taking over British embassies and such. They are, you know, now apparently making all kinds of, you know, other saber-rattling noises, etc. The reset button with Russia did not work. They just had apparently an election full of, you know, egregious fraud. I mean, foreign or domestic, that very little has turned out the way Obama wanted to. And, oh, by the way, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan. No, no, no. Everyone, you know, many people are losing their plans because businesses are realizing, well, soon we can just pay a fee and get our, you know, these expenses off of our books. So good for Reince Priebus. And you've seen a slight uptick in Obama's poll numbers in recent weeks. And there's a certain school of thought that says when Obama gets off the television screen, when he stops trying to sell things, he actually does pretty well. And around the Thanksgiving holiday, it's kind of a slower news period. Certainly the Republican primary has been front and center. And you see, you know, every week or 2 weeks, you see the Republicans up on stage beating each other's brains in, that it makes the Republicans look bad. And, you know, people forget about Obama, and particularly they forget about what they don't like about Obama. So, I mean, and you can see this. It's not that Obama has the self-control to get off the television screen for more than a couple of days at a time. But when, you know, what the White House is doing recedes into the background of the news picture, Obama's numbers start to tick up a little bit. Now, I think the good news for us is that he won't be able to resist that. But I think Priebus has the right message, is that, look, no matter what's going on in the Republican primary, and for obvious reasons, you and I and everybody who listens to this podcast has probably very passionate views about that. But in the end, this will turn down to Obama versus the alternative. And let's not fool ourselves that just because we're really, you know, fired up about one candidate or another on the Republican side or can't believe somebody's running on the other side. Look, the real issue is we got to get into a better shape than where we are right now. And there's no way that Obama can deliver that in a second term.
And I think you lurched to another great point, which is very contrary to the Obama mystique. And that's that the more he opens his mouth, the more people respond in a positive way to him. That's kind of something he's lost now. And as you mentioned, he can't do it because, first of all, he's president. Secondly, he's too arrogant not to do it. And thirdly, he's going to be on the campaign trail for the last 6 months. And so people are going to get a daily dose of him constantly talking about how wonderful he is while trying to hide everything that's behind the curtain. So difficult as it might be to defeat an incumbent, I like those factors in our favor.
Greg, I just want to point out, you've talked about the Obama mystique. Some of us figured this out fairly early, but the mystique is not actually that mysterious. You know, there's a little bit of, I've been working so hard. And some would have us take this extreme path to our right. Some would have us take this extreme path to our left. Look at right side of teleprompter. Look at left side of teleprompter. I have come up with this pretty darn lefty path that I will claim is in the middle with a few rhetorical flourishes for the right. And I will insist that it is a win-win. And that, in fact, even though people say we're spending enough, we can't afford not to spend this oodles amount of money. That's the Obama mystique right there. I mean, that's, you know, a little smoke, little mirrors, and there you go.
Well, we'll see if it works. Hopefully it won't. On to martini number two now. Here's another idea we wish hadn't worked. Unfortunately, it will. CNN is working with Donald Trump to be the moderator in some form or fashion. I don't know that he's going to be the question-to-question moderator, but he's going to be playing a prominent role in this debate with the Republican presidential hopefuls in Iowa, minus Jon Huntsman. If you have record buttons wherever you are...
And Ron Paul.
Oh, Ron Paul's out too. Okay. Press record now because it's the first time you're probably, and last, you may ever hear me say something good about Jon Huntsman in this campaign. Good for you for staying out of this charade and this complete farce of a political debate. Why everybody thinks they need to go to Trump Tower and, as Huntsman says, kiss the ring and who knows what other part of the anatomy to try and get the blessing of a guy that probably 75% of Americans think is nuts is beyond me. How this guy became a kingmaker either in his own mind or in some sort of reality is ridiculous, and the fact that anybody's participating in this debate diminishes the whole thing.
Yeah, you said it was a debate. I think you can think of it as a debate slash infomercial slash very special episode of The Apprentice. The following week, the Republican candidates will be on a very special episode of Fear Factor. Whoever is willing to eat the most worms gets a campaign donation. Or the endorsement of Joe Rogan or something like that. No, this is kind of disturbing, and it was worth noting that I've put my typically snarky and dismissive response to this development on Campaign Spot. And I'm getting, Jim, you inside the beltway, you lead us. You know, Trump speaks for real. By the way, if Donald Trump speaks for real America, perhaps it's time to contemplate exile or internal revolution or something like that. So Trump does Chuck Todd's show on MSNBC this morning. And Trump decided that now, of all time, was a fantastic time to bring up the birther issue again. For him to insist that, look, his investigators could not find any evidence of Obama's birth at the hospital. And so that bothers him. He understands that some people don't bother, you know, so they go, let's bring back the birther thing right before this guy hosts a Republican debate. This debate proposal just happens to coincide with a new book out by the Donald, which I'm sure he wrote by himself. I'm sure, you know. But he also said in the Today Show interview that if he's not particularly impressed with the Republican nominee, then Trump may run third party. Greg, have you ever heard a moderator at a debate say, look, I don't like all your answers, so I'm running myself halfway through? Is that even conceivable? You know, we have now gotten beyond, we've jumped the tracks, we're off the cliff, we're down the ravine, into the ditch, through the looking glass, and around the bend. Because I just can't follow this debate anymore. It's kind of appalling that folks are agreeing to do so, particularly Newt Gingrich. Your front runner, for Pete's sake, have a little bit of respect here. And Huntsman and Paul come out smelling like a rose, or at least like having the good sense, the good judgment. Hopefully, some combination of the birtherism slash third-party bid threats would persuade Republicans that this is not a good idea. There are lots of other folks who can host a debate. I just have the feeling that the questions from Donald Trump will have us yearning for the sensible, succinct, and direct tone of Charlie Rose.
The sad part, though, is this is going to get huge ratings because people are drawn to Trump like they're drawn to a massive traffic accident on the side of the highway. They just can't look away. And so that's why he thinks he's somehow greatly respected in the political arena somehow. If you're doing a drinking game and you do watch this, however, references to his book, references to his television show, the words really, really wonderful or really, really incredible will probably be used a lot.
Top of the line, top notch, all class.
And the word China will be in there a lot.
China, top of the line, all class China.
So those are my cues for you on that. If you want to entertain yourself a little bit while the Donald makes a spectacle of himself and, unfortunately, the Republican Party. On to number three now. The Donald will be looking at one less podium on the stage, if they have podiums. I don't know exactly what the format will be. But anyway, as most of you know by now, Herman Cain has reassessed his campaign. And on the very day he was opening his national headquarters in Atlanta, he suspended his campaign, which is basically fancy for saying, I'm not really ending it because I have some things I'd like to do with the money that I've raised to this point, even though it won't be used to run for president, which is the reason people gave it to me. So he's likely to endorse. He says he's going to endorse soon. According to reports, that person is likely to be Newt Gingrich, who's a fellow Georgian and, oh, by the way, is lapping the rest of the field right now. Probably not a huge difference who he endorses right now at this point, given his baggage on policy debates and, of course, the allegations. But not exiting quietly, and it's a little bit of a spectacle at this point.
I feel really bad for a bunch of people here. Among them, you know, there had to be one person who put more effort than anyone else into opening up that campaign headquarters.
Exactly.
They set up the tech stuff, the banners, the balloons, and, you know, and then Herman Cain comes in and offers the worst campaign headquarters opening party of all time. Hi, everyone. I'm leaving. And what's more, he announces that he, you know, because, like, first of all, I don't know if you got a chance to watch Herman Cain's remarks leading up to the announcement, Greg. Probably not, because you have a life. And he chose to do so on a Saturday afternoon. My understanding is I believe the remarks clocked in at about 4 hours and 25 minutes or so, or maybe just felt that long.
It was tedious.
It went on forever, and everyone, you know. And but beforehand, I'm following this on Twitter. My son is actually napping in the backseat of a car. So I'm doing this entirely over hearing what other people are saying, and I just keep waiting for the announcement. And it just keeps, he's talking. It just takes forever to get to the announcement. And then he announces, as you mentioned, that he's suspending his campaign, and that he'll be endorsing someone within a couple of days, you know, in the near future. Now, once you endorse someone, are you really still running in any way, shape, or form? Vote for me or for Newt. I'm giving you a menu of options. You might like, you know, one or the other here. Everyone largely expects him to endorse Newt. Their friends going back to Newt's days as Speaker. They're both from Georgia. They had that buddy-buddy debate earlier. So, I mean, look, this will help Gingrich a certain amount. He kind of is eliminating the not-Mitt options. And if Cain goes out a big, passionate endorsement of Newt, I could see that kind of swaying the folks who are left on the Cain bandwagon. It will not be a huge game-changing event, but I think it was something that will probably be good news for the Gingrich campaign at some point in the future. There was a rumor earlier today that the announcement was coming as early as today, and then the announcement came out very, really right after that our guy Bob Costa was saying, no, I was hearing not that was not going to be the case. So just like Schrodinger's cat, Cain is and it is not endorsing today. We'll see how this shakes out. It probably will be Newt. I think in a way the conventional wisdom is coalescing behind Newt so quickly that if Cain picked anybody else, it might be a bigger splash and a bit more of an eye-opening moment if that were the case.
Yeah, it was interesting to watch some of the other presidential hopefuls try and claim the supporters of Herman Cain, saying that they were the next logical option. I know Michelle Bachmann definitely made a push for that. But, yeah, it looks...
Herman, when I said you were ludicrously unqualified, I meant that the best possible way. And all the time I mocked you, I respected you every... You know.
So the drama goes on a little bit longer, and what a way to start the week. Jim, talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.